Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Company weekday mornings 6 till 10.
What up, Mr. Bruno?
Good morning, and thank you for joining us today. By the way, the rain's been we've had rain continuously for 2 days. Now, this is the worst time of the year in Florida because it's hot and it's humid and it rains at least once a day, but it's been raining like consistently for two straight days, a steady rain. So if you're coming down here now, I advise you stay home because it's bad. And you know, they started putting cinder blocks up. The house is finally going up. One day on Monday, they started putting blocks up after we got the slab poured. We're seeing a house, and then boom, it's been raining for 2 days. So the building gods have not been looking down on me the last couple of years. But luckily, though, I am here to celebrate the second year anniversary of my 70th birthday.
Wow.
Tomorrow is my Juneteenth. Because, you know, the other night was Juneteenth, even though it wasn't Juneteenth, when Joe Biden came out of the Hall of Presidents at Walt Disney World and was propped up over there with all the dancing people on the White House lawn. I mean, I think the White House should just get the audio animatronic Joe Biden from the Hall of Presidents at Walt Disney World and bring that out to replace Joe, because that actually has more animation and more. It moves more than Joe does.
Tony, we broke down the film yesterday of that concert out on the lawn. We couldn't figure out if Joe was frozen. Was he drinking Metamucil? Was it Gatorade? I don't know who was more uncomfortable clapping along, whether it was Doug Emhoff, Joe Biden, or Kamala Harris. That was one of the most, I mean, I don't even know what the appropriate word was. It was just sheer comedy and entertainment, seeing some people that just clearly are totally out of place in certain
elements.
Come
on, man. This guy grew up in the black church. And you can tell when he was in the black church. Listen, anybody who's ever been in a black church knows that there's no way you can stand still. You don't stand there like a statue when you're in a black church.
Absolutely.
And the congregation is rocking, and people in back in the overflow are going crazy. Joe Biden's the only guy who's been to the black church that hasn't moved an inch. Oh, it's impossible. It's impossible to do.
It really is. Tony Bruno with us from Florida. Speaking of the Bidens, let's get to the big guy's baby boy yesterday. Guilty on all three counts. But it's not about the verdict. It's not about the rule of law, Tony. As Joy Reid would say, it's about compassion. It's about being there as a father as your child beats addiction. And Republicans would never have that kind of sympathy for anybody. Right, Tony?
Well, the interesting thing is, I don't know if you saw this, while all the, and listen, and I posted this yesterday on my new, fresh, reactivated, and heavily viewed Tony Bruno
heavily
Show
viewed. Yes.
X account.
Yep.
And I'm posting sports stuff, the Phillies, the politics. You know, I actually asked a big question yesterday after the verdict, you know, with the Tajikistan. Who knew that Tajikistanis would now become the latest members? Come on down! Was Jim Kenney doing the Sanctuary City dance when he found out that the Tajikistan guys are in Philadelphia? Who do you have in a street gang war? The Philly street gangs or the Tajikistanis?
I'll get the Tajikistanis are minus 200 on FanDuel right now.
Whoa. Will Greg have a
he'll have
Greg
a read
have
coming
a pick
up
on that one? Tajikistan
definitely
versus Philly gangs.
Definitely.
Who do you have?
Definitely.
All right. Now listen. I posted yesterday. Nobody's celebrating the fact that Hunter Biden was. I mean, they could have gotten a guy at Pepple. Manny Moore Jack could have. Could have been the prosecution and got a conviction there.
Yeah.
Yep.
The reason the trial only lasted, it actually didn't last 2 weeks. It lasted only a week because they had the thing on Friday, and then they had to wait till Monday, and then they got the jury. It took them 3 hours of deliberation.
Mm-hmm.
So the bottom line is nobody's celebrating a guy being convicted over a gun crime. Nobody's celebrating it. You know, and obviously not like they celebrated Trump's convictions. And so it's not one of those, this guy's my, he's my convicted felon now. By the way, I must report that I am not a convicted felon, but I am 0 for 5 in Philadelphia traffic court in my lifetime. So you want to talk about something that's even harder to beat.
It's true.
than a gun violation. Trying to go to Philadelphia traffic court when you have all the evidence in the world.
There's no.
And you go before a judge and he says, "I'm sorry. Remember back in the day when you got tickets, the cop would have to show up.
Yep.
Yeah.
To say that you broke the law.
Yeah.
Now you go in. It's like guilty. Next come on in. The traffic court. You wait outside.
Yep.
And then they impound your car, and then you got to pay $500 to go get it out when you parked on your own street.
Yep.
With a parking sticker on your car. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. Tony Bruno joining us as he does each and every Wednesday here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
By the way, just a programming note, next Wednesday and Thursday, Tony Bruno will actually be with Dawn and myself, Miss Robin.
Next Wednesday, what's the date? So that's the 20th. That's the first day of summer.
The 19th and the 19th and 20th.
No, that's Juneteenth.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm taking Juneteenth off, Tony.
Yes, he is.
Well, I would do it too, but it's... Juneteenth is tomorrow for me. June 13th is my birthday. So since Biden didn't know what Juneteenth was,
I think
he thought
it meant June 10th.
No, but they were celebrating Juneteenth.
By the way, in the next 2 days, we have Tony Bruno's birthday, Donald Trump's birthday, and Dawn Stensland's birthday.
No!
Wow.
Oh, it's a
lot going on. Are we not the greatest people ever created on God's green earth?
By the way, I don't even acknowledge
the fringe of Gemini, right? When does Cancer start?
No. We are right in the heart of the we are the pure Gemini.
Yeah, I know you don't mention
in my house, I
do
though.
In
my house, I just call it Magna Carta Day. Which is the prequel to the Constitution. I just go, okay, kids, we're celebrating. And the worst day of my life was when my stepdaughter, Stacia, turned 39 because my kids said, Mom, I thought you were 39 because I've been lying for so long. I was like, Stacia, you're 29.
You're not 39?
She is.
Well,
she
I
is.
Am.
With, she is.
With a ton of years of experience. Don't talk about that. Right, Miss Robin?
Exactly.
All
right, Bruno, speaking of females, we got to get to our daily Caitlin Clark update. This one is just, this might actually take the cake of all the bad takes that we have heard for the last month on Caitlin Clark from race baiters on ESPN and mainstream media everywhere. I have no idea who this guy is because I haven't watched Around the Horn in 22 years on ESPN. But one of the panelists, David Dennis Jr., is apparently a writer. Yeah, exactly who? Exactly. He's a writer for ESPN, and he says, quote, the problem here is what concerns me going forward is those people on the fringe that do exist who are in real life, not just internet trolls, politicians, pundits, and people of the like, who are using Caitlin Clark as an avatar to lash out at the people who they actually have disdain for, mainly the makeup of the WNBA, which is black women. So now the headlines are, ESPN writer claims that Caitlin Clark fans are using her to express their hatred for black women. Tony Bruno, your thoughts.
Whatever. What a joke. Meanwhile, at least, you know, Stephen A. Smith and a lot of other ESPN people have all spoken out on behalf of Caitlin Clark. So it's not just white people who are excited. The thing that's the most bizarre thing about this is all of these histrionics about, well, you know, she can wait 4 more years. To go play for 2 weeks in the Olympics. That's true. But it's not based on what you've accomplished. For example, in Major League Baseball, the kid Skeens from the Pittsburgh Pirates, is he not going to make the MLB All-Star game because he's a rookie and he should wait his turn?
Nope.
No, he's the hottest young pitcher in baseball, and he's going to be in the Major League Baseball All-Star game.
Mm-hmm.
Is he supposed to wait till he's a veteran and he's not 19? It's ridiculous. And here's the other thing that people seem to conveniently forget. All this, well, you got to earn your way. She could wait 4 more years. What happens if she gets hurt and 4 years from now she's not playing? Yeah. And again, that's unlikely to happen. But the bottom line is the women's U.S. national basketball team, is an absolute machine. And when you sit on the bench as the 12th person and you have a couple of alternates, you're going to get in the game and play. Because when you're beating Tajikistan by 72 points, they empty the benches and everybody gets to play.
Yep.
That's how it works in the Olympic. It's what the Dream Team did when our college kids started losing to the rest of the world. We brought in the big boys, and we just absolutely annihilated the rest of the world. Yep. We were sitting there in the summer watching 72 to 15 games, and all of a sudden everybody's worried about a rookie sitting on a bench in a game that becomes a joke, and then NBC will cut out of it. When these games get absolutely ridiculous, they'll cut out to and go to gymnastics or synchronized swimming at night when the women control the remote controls during the Olympics and say, "Hon, can you put on synchronized swimming? They're on the unbalanced, but they're on the balance beams tonight. I want to see gymnastics." Because let's be honest, and you know me, I'm not a sexist. I love women. But women control the remote controls in prime time during the Olympics, whether it's the winter games when it's figure skating or whether it's the summer games when it's gymnastics, which is huge, or synchronized swimming, which is pretty, or diving, some of the other events. Yeah. So give me a break with this. Well, you know, she can wait another 4 years for the Olympics. By the way, remember, there's a time difference. So NBC and Peacock, they're not going to be showing these games live unless they play at, you know, 2 a.m. So give me, as Joe Biden would say, come on, man.
Come on,
give me
man.
A break. Give me a break.
What would you do, Tony Bruno, if you, or Greg Stocker, what would you do as far as if you're NBC, try to get Caitlin as an announcer or something to bring in her involvement, put her there, have her interviewing players or something?
She's an attraction. She would bring viewers.
Listen, the bottom line is what we've seen happen since this whole thing. If they had just put her on the team, and again, I'm not saying she just should be put on there, but just as an acknowledgement of the power she has brought to the WNBA as a rookie. By the way, there are other great rookies in the WNBA. But you notice since this thing all started up, what are we seeing? We're seeing WNBA players being interviewed and showing what idiots they are. And not all idiots, but there are people who are doing stupid things on the WNBA floor that nobody would ever pay attention to. You know, the other night, another player up in Connecticut, you know, shoves her down. And listen, I get it. She's a rookie. She's going to get bounced around. That's what you do. But she doesn't get up and whine.
Nope.
She doesn't go after the game and say, well, they're picking on me.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's handled her success, their success, better than Caitlin Clark.
Yep.
She's been first class all the way. She doesn't rip anybody. She doesn't say, I deserve to be there. She doesn't have anybody campaigning for her. It's just logical. The WNBA, I'm telling you, the WNBA has been made better and has been re-energized by Caitlin Clark and the young rookies that came in. It was all because of the college basketball tournament.
Mm-hmm.
People found out about women's basketball. They don't know, but normally they don't watch the women's NCAA tournament.
Yep.
You know, it's the men's game, and then they'll put some scores up. Women's basketball was put on the map because of the great rivalries that came to light this past year in the NCAA College Basketball Championship Tournament. It was must-watch TV, more than a lot of the men's games. So the bottom line is, this is ridiculous. You know, put her on there and stop all this nonsense. She's not going to hurt. It's next month, by the way. It's next month. It's not like they have to go out and have all these trials and have tryouts.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. The U.S. women's team's a machine.
Yeah, they're going to roll.
And you put her on there on the bench, and you get more eyeballs on the game.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the WNBA has hurt itself more than helped itself with this stupid decision. And the women and all those women who played God and decided that she wasn't going to be there, including Philly's own Dawn Staley, have really done a disservice to the women's game. Because now everything that happens in the WNBA that's bad is now going to make highlights at night. And that's not the kind of publicity I would think the WNBA, which is now red hot, wanted to have happen.
Tony, I got to get your thoughts on this. Earlier this week, I think it was Monday, I did a big take on some of the decline that we are seeing in America. The Pew Research Center says now only about 34% of Americans believe you can be a different gender than the one you were assigned at birth based on your sex. The American College of Pediatricians has come out and said we need to stop the puberty blockers and the transgender surgical procedures in this country. We've seen it already already stopped overseas in Europe. And now I just read a story yesterday in your state of Florida where a judge has now come out and he's blocked trans care for youth, such as surgeries, puberty blockers, hormone treatments, and things like that. I totally applaud Florida for that approach, again, for the minors, because I don't think minors can make a really informed decision about their future and their body parts when they're 12 years old. Your thoughts on that obviously happening in Ron DeSantis' own state?
Well, what happened, Nick, is that Ron DeSantis and the legislature here in Florida obviously thought that children being mutilated, you know, as young children, when you're an adult, you can do it, cut everything off you want. You can go out there, cut your arms, your legs, don't cut the front hole now. Remember, you're not allowed to say cervix anymore.
Nope.
It's the front hole. So if you want to cut your front hole out or stuff your front hole, whatever you do when you're an adult, you know, we do that with the turkey. We stuff the front hole. Right? For Thanksgiving, we stuff the front hole.
What do you stuff with your front hole with?
Oh, come on.
Did you remove the gizzard?
Wait a minute, there's another drop right there. You got to mark that one.
Don, I have a question for you. When I heard that coming out of Canada, I don't know why I was... That bothered me so much. I was so insulted.
Talking about insulting the women.
I was so insulted that our body parts are being relegated to holes.
Yes.
I mean, I just...
Not the glory hole. Jerry Jones is looking for some glory hole down there.
Yes, he is.
But that's just it. Imagine if anybody with the last name Trump referred to anybody female as a front hole.
Yeah.
Can you even imagine?
Imagine that, Miss Robin. Imagine Robin.
I mean,
and Robin, this is the American, this is the Canadian Cancer Society.
Yeah, I know.
I know. Oh, I wrote a scathing message about it because body parts, when you start relegating women to just the holes that they have is the most insulting thing I have ever heard.
The only hole we should be talking about is the blowhole on all of our majestic, like down here we have we just saw one the other day. The majestic.
You saw we had a manatee.
When a manatee comes up and breathes, or a dolphin, or a beautiful shark comes up, not the shark, a beautiful orca. Man. Or the whales, when the blowhole.
Yeah.
The blowhole is the only hole we should be talking about when it comes to glorious holes. You know, not the glory hole. That's a different hole.
See, this is how we stay young in this town.
Exactly.
It's true. It's true.
Technically just a 10-year-old. I mean, this is really...
No, but back to the here's the thing, Nick. DeSantis and the state legislature passed a law saying that in Florida, children do not have the right to be genitally mutilated because they can't make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't allow parents who think now all of a sudden that their five-year-old it should be another gender. So Florida actually said, no, if you're an adult, you can make those decisions, go ahead and do it, but not children. Guess what happened? Then a federal judge came in and blocked it. They blocked the law that allows, and then GLAAD, the gay organization actually praised the judge for reversing the rule and saying that kids should be allowed to go in and get genitally mutilated as youngsters.
Mm-hmm.
So listen, I get the gay community. GLAAD used to be, you know, speaking out on behalf of the gay community. Now all of a sudden, they're promoting young kids having irreparable surgery to change their genders, and that's good.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing that people don't realize, that this is actually incredibly discriminating against gays and lesbians,
mm-hmm.
because you are telling children that if they feel a little bit different, that they can no longer identify as gay or lesbian, that they need to choose a gender rather than just accepting who they are. There's nothing wrong with being gay or lesbian.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's
exactly.
The thing.
And that's what many doctors and all the studies, if you look at them, they say puberty is the cure. What they find is for a lot of these kids after puberty, these issues one way or the other, maybe they're gay, maybe they're straight, but they don't want to have trans surgery after puberty.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Can you
By the way, I'm getting corrected by Kevin Poles. He's right.
Uh-oh. Kevin?
Manatees do not have blowholes. They have nostrils, but they still come up and breathe.
Yeah, amazing that Kevin would know that.
It's amazing.
Well, I know that too. Robin and I live in Manatee country. They come in our lagoon, and we go out there and act like five-year-olds, man.
That's good work, Kevin.
They're a mermaid.
By the way, yeah,
they're chubby.
91 LSXer has a great point. He says DeSantis keeps leading, passing actual conservative legislation that people want instead of just talking.
Yeah.
He gets it's not even conservative legislation. It's common sense legislation.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
it's not far right to say, I don't want kids, the five-year-old kids to have their organs cut off because it's irreparable. You can't go put it back on.
Can you guys?
This isn't the stick in. Remember the little games we used to have? We used to put body parts and you put things on.
Mr. Potato Head.
Those games that kids used to play.
Yeah.
That's me, Mr. Potato Head. Can you guys stick around for one more segment? Because I still have some other stuff to get to.
Where am I going? It's raining out. I need the house. I need to get action. I need cinder block laying to occur today on this beautiful What Up Wednesday.
All right, beautiful. I got to get to nobody being above the law with hypocrisy. We've also got some Emmy conversation to get to when it comes to DEI. And, oh, by the way, Joey Chestnut has been shut out of the hot dog eating contest on our nation's birthday.
Total outrage.
Bruno and Robin will stick around, and we're back after this.
I am, in fact, now allowed to trade in my my F-15 and upgrade to the F-22 Raptor, so that if the government comes after us, I want to make sure that I also can get a 200 shell 12 gauge shotgun later on today at Cabela's here in Southwest Florida.
Exactly right. And Tony Bruno's a good shot.
I got to go get some gator. I got to go get some of them big salamander. What are those big lizards?
Iguanas.
What?
Iguana.
I got to get some iguana.
In the wetlands.
The wetlands of Delaware.
The wetlands of Delaware.
The wetlands of Delaware. I think Joe went to the John Hines area. You know, near the airport when it's the John Hines Wildlife Preserve? I think that's the last place Joe and Hunter was hunting back there, too, looking for some crack chicks.
down there
behind the airport on Rat Road, where I used to go and make out with chicks back in the day Southwest Philly.
Weed Chick 420, or what was the...
Weed Slut 420.
Weed Slut 420.
Yeah. I know her.
Yes.
I know her.
Yes.
That was your CB handle back in the day.
Yes. And she has
got Wheat Slut Day. You got your ears on Wheat Slut 420. This here's the rubber ducky.
Wheat Slut 420. Can you confirm front hole or back hole?
Oh, no.
All right, let's get it back on track. Family-friendly program here.
Yes.
I saw these two stories, Tony, and one thing I will say about Tony Bruno is he can't stand hypocrisy, and he doesn't care what your opinion is as long as you're consistent with it. So I want to give you these two stories just in a brief recap, and I've got some audio video to point out the hypocrisy here. So there was this story of a Pride logo and some LGBTQ plus, not artwork, but on streets. And a bunch of these young punks that, you know, show up with ATVs and dirt bikes and cars, and they do these donuts and these wheelies and everything like that, they pretty much destroyed that Pride logo on some public property. And they were hit with a very, very harsh sentence. I believe it was 3 years in jail. But I want to point out this hypocrisy, as you had pro-Palestinian protesters this past weekend, just a few blocks away from the White House, where they were defaming and vandalizing a statue, and there was a law enforcement officer there to try to prevent the destroying of the property. And this is K1, boys. I want to play you this video of this officer being pelted with objects, and you tell me about hate crimes and consistency and nobody being above the law and the hypocrisy that's going on in this country right now. K1, let's play this, and then, Tony, I want to get your reaction. A lot of curse words, a lot of vandalism on the statue. This officer's protecting the statue. He's grabbed a can of spray paint from somebody. Now watch as they start pelting him here. I believe it's coming up here in this video.
And here's the thing about this incident, Nick. That's the statue of Rochambeau, who was very prominent helping the United States, helping us win the Revolutionary War. And all of a sudden, they sent out a park ranger.
Yeah.
That's a park ranger. That's not a cop. And then the White House knew this was going to happen because they put fences up all around the White House a couple of days before.
Yeah.
And then they leave this poor guy out here. And they're throwing stuff at him. They're spray painting a statue.
Yeah, I'm not
sure
where
they're doing all kinds of vile things. And he's like, you know, it's a joke. They didn't send any police there. They sent park rangers out for a riot that they knew was going to happen. Now, the other story is now there's a couple of instances where guys were doing donuts on a pride mural on a street.
Yeah.
But the one that was the biggest outrage, and it really got my goat, is up in Spokane, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I love the West Coast, but now we have to try to figure out which of the three West Coast states are the most insane right now. Oregon, Washington, or California is always number one because they're the biggest.
Yeah.
But now you've got Washington State and Oregon trying to outdo each other on stupidity because there is a public park where kids go out and they have their little skateboard thing. Not even a skateboard, they're little scooters. And they're not like motorcycles, they're not like big cars doing sideshows and destroying the thing. These kids weren't purposely going over the pride thing. The pride flag was painted in the middle of the street where a park is, and those kids, and you see it in all parks, the kids are on the sidewalk, they go up, they come down a ramp, and then they go into the street. They weren't trying to, they weren't scuffing it up intentionally. They were riding back and forth and then going back into the park, which is right, that street is right in front of a public park where people go and do recreational stuff. But it's ridiculous that. And by the way, there was a reporter in Spokane who I just absolutely tortured, and he got ratioed, the biggest ratio ever on social media, because he was like, "Look at this! I just saw this right in front of my eyes. These kids are committing a felony. They're scuffing up the pride parade in the middle of the street." And if you watch the tape, watch that tape in particular. The little teenagers, not even teenagers, probably early teenagers. It's an absolute joke.
They looked like they were maybe 10, 11,
yeah,
12.
Yeah, and this is
like
what
that.
Media does. Now, this is not some random dude posting this. This is a guy who's an accredited member of the media in Spokane, Washington, reporting this story and being outraged that two kids were riding a scooter. And it wasn't electrified.
Here's
it wasn't
a thought.
Even an electrified thing.
Here's a thought. If they really don't want anybody driving over it, don't put it in a freaking intersection.
Especially in front of a park. I mean, come on now. Listen, again, we talk about it all the time. You know, listen, you can have Pride Month. I don't care anymore. Do whatever you want. But these fringe lunatics have hijacked this moment and have made it bad for just the everyday, good-natured, happy LGBTQ people mm-hmm. who don't want to deal with this stuff. They don't want to be part of this.
Right.
Most people that I know who are LGBTQ, gays, lesbians, whatever, they don't want to be a part of this. They think it's ridiculous that we have to have 30 consecutive days to tell everybody that you're proud. I'm proud every day. Say it loud. can I say I'm white and I'm proud, or is that wrong?
I don't know. In this day and age, you got to be careful.
Remember,
Tony
James
Bruno.
Brown, say it loud.
Yeah.
I'm black and I'm proud. I'm blacker than a lot of people who claim to be black. I've been in the sun, baby, and I'm an Italian and I'm a Sicilian.
Look at you.
And I don't go out and sunbathe.
Yeah.
I'm out there on the lot, you know, overseeing the construction of the Paradiso Bruno.
Yeah.
So when you're out in the hot, hot sun, you know, you're going to get some sun. But I put sunscreen on. Put a hat on. You got to be careful out there, folks, in the hot sun.
What kind of SPF are you using these days? What's your SPF number, Tony Bruno?
I go SPF 120.
120.
Wow, very
120
nice.
Now, yes.
Wow.
Or 420, depending on what time of the afternoon it is.
Tony Bruno, also known as Weed Slut 420.
By the way, we have to get it up. The only thing that makes Philadelphia look great these days with all the other stuff going on is Kyle Schwarber
and
the Phillies. Mr. June Boom himself. I was watching the post-game show last night on TNT, TBS. And that's a great show with Pedro Martinez and Curtis Granderson. The love that the Phillies are getting right now from everywhere in baseball. Listen, the Yankees are good. The Dodgers are good. But the Phillies, who have been good consistently the last few years, and each year we say, well, this team looks like they can go all the way. Right now. And now, of course, losing JT Realmuto with knee surgery with a meniscus tear, that's not going to help. But this team seems to find ways to win. They go up to Boston, and there he is, Kyle Schwarber, Mr. June.
Yeah, baby.
Hits a home run on the first pitch of the game, hits two home runs, and they had a stat on that game last night that Kyle Schwarber now, historically, because everybody said, why is he a leadoff man? All he does is hit home runs and strikes out. He has a better OPS than the greatest leadoff men in history, Ricky Henderson.
Oh,
all
wow.
of these guys, when you look at the list of great leadoff men,
yeah.
Kyle Schwarber has better numbers than the historically greatest leadoff hitters ever, because most of the leadoff hitters weren't big home run hitters. You
yeah.
think of a big guy like Kyle Schwarber as a number 4 or 5 hitter, right?
Yep.
Cleanup guy?
Yep.
And people went, why do you have Kyle Schwarber batting leadoff? Look at his statistics. It is absolutely mind-numbing how good this guy is as a leadoff hitter. And he comes up and hits the first pitch out of Fenway and then hits the other pitch right down the middle the second time up. And that's what sets the tone for the Phillies, letting the other team know, hey, listen, we're going to start off and put a one spot up on you as soon as the game starts. So
yep.
that's why the Phillies are playing well. They just, everybody's contributing. The starting pitching is great. And the biggest point is, even though the Phillies have 5 starters, when you get to the postseason, you only need 3 guys.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have 3, and the Phillies have 3 studs.
Yep.
Between, you know, what's his name, who pitched last night?
Nola Wheeler and Suarez.
Wheeler has 8 wins now. Aaron Nola's pitching great. And Ranger Suarez.
Yep.
Those 3. Everybody else then is an extra arm in the postseason. So
mm-hmm.
you'll use starters and long relievers. The Phillies are really set up. And I don't want to be, oh, they're going to win the World Series. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say that this team right now, when we looked at the last few years, this may be the best constructed team and the most together team we have seen in a long, long time here.
I agree. They look great this year. And, you know, Schwarber's a guy who looks like he, you know, loves his protein. He loves his yep. beef. Probably loves a yep. good Nathan's beef hot dog.
Mm.
I don't think Kyle Schwarber's ever going to go vegan, but Joey Chestnut apparently has. And when I think of the 4th of July, there's a lot of great things about this nation, our birthday.
Yep.
But, man, I love watching that hot dog eating contest. And you talk about the GOAT. Joey Chestnut to hot dogs is the equivalent of Caitlin Clark to women's basketball.
No, yeah. Well, she hasn't. She's no, not yet.
And he's now out of it. He's out of it because he went vegan, and they will
but
not allow him to
put
compete.
Caitlin Clark in the Joey Chestnut range right now. Come on, man.
Hey, Tony,
on, man.
It's June. I'm trying to get through a show in sports radio. I got to give out a hot take. I got to say something I don't believe to get to the finish line.
No, you don't. You have to believe. Now, here's the best part of the story. So Joey Chestnut wins it every year. He's the GOAT. Nobody's even close. In fact, the guy who's now the leader, I think we'll have the latest tote board on FanDuel on what, you know, what the odds are. The guy who's now the supposed favorite to win the hot dog, the Nathan's contest, lost by like 50 hot dogs last year to Joey Chestnut. So Joey Chestnut, meanwhile, pulling what a lot of people want Caitlin Clark to do, say, listen, I'm too big for this. I'm going to go to my own league and then start another hot. But here's where it's a violation, as we used to say.
Yeah.
You can't have a vegan hot dog eating contest
nope.
unless they pay you a lot of money to eat inedible vegan hot dogs, because you want to stick it to the Nathan's people, and they're going to give you more money even if you only eat 10 of those nasty meatless hot dogs.
Yeah.
You can't have a hot dog that doesn't have meat. A hot dog is indistinguishable ground up product. It's like sausages, except it's really, really mushy. And when they make them, and you've seen them make hot dogs, it looks nasty.
I got to say something that's going to be a very controversial take. I was meatless for almost 10 years. I have eaten those vegan hot dogs. I got to tell you.
They're good?
They're not that bad. They kind of taste... I mean, what does a hot dog taste like anyway? It tastes like the condiments you put on it. It tastes like the bun.
Mustard.
It tastes like mustard. It tastes like pickles. It
mustard.
Tastes like, exactly.
Mustard.
So, it's not really that terrible. I'm just saying.
I know mustard. That, but it's sacrilege.
Mustard.
It's sacrilege.
Do you know an interesting little tidbit here? American hot dogs are not allowed to be sold in Europe because they are so bad for you.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. And
yeah,
Beyond
like
Meat, remember when it was a big
and,
deal? Yeah. Their stock went through the roof. People, oh, buy this Beyond Meat. Now they're like in the reef. They're in like a separate section where nobody goes and buys it anymore. They can't give away this fake meat stuff.
Sure.
And it's awful. It's awful. I know it doesn't have any taste. It doesn't matter. A hot dog on a grill smells. Do those vegan hot dogs, when you put it on the grill, do they smell like
yeah,
hot dogs?
They actually do.
They do.
They inject some kind of... meat smell into
it's true.
It.
They inject it into the front hole.
When I get meat sweats, I want to earn meat sweats. You don't get meat sweats eating fake meat. You know what I'm saying?
All right, we got to go. Bruno, great
yes,
stuff.
Love you guys.
Miss Robin, have a great day.
Next Wednesday and Thursday,
yep.
Tony Bruno, Miss Robin will be in with Dawn, myself.
And the first day of summer. Mark it down, kids. It's going to be awesome, baby.
It will, baby.
We'll talk about manhole maintenance policy.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh,
and trans-friendly front holes.
I am not going to be able to control next Wednesday show.
Woo!
Nope.
God
nope.
Nope.
Warning, everybody. Yep,
exactly. Trigger warning in effect.
Oh.
Here we go.
All right, everybody.
Thank you, brother. There he is, Tony Bruno. Vegan hot dogs with
mustard.
Yes, and onions and relish and pickles.
Start your day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.